Sean Johnson joins us on Sports Byline USA. If you know anything about the Olympics, you certainly do recognize that name. She was the 2008 Olympic balance beam gold medalist, also the Olympic all-around and floor exercise silver medalist, and she picked up a silver medal with the U.S. team at the 2008 Beijing Olympic Games as well. Sean, I want to start by talking a little bit about where you are in the comeback process, because I know in January of 2010, you tore your ACL while skiing, and then you announced your return to gymnastics training with a goal of making the 2012 team. Tell me a little bit about that comeback. What went through your mind after it happened, and what type of mindset did you take about coming back?
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I first got hurt or injured and had to go through surgery, I had already taken 2 years away from my sport and kind of officially retired. But I remember the first time, you know, I went into the doctor and had the surgery done, the first thing I thought was, what if I could never do gymnastics again? And to me, it was kind of just a wake-up call telling me that I missed the sport and I, you know, still wanted to be a part of it. And it was a great way to get myself healthy and my body back in shape and, you know, push myself to the next level.
Did you also think that the best way to overcome this was by setting up a challenge for yourself? I would think that that would be the way an athlete might approach something like this.
Definitely. You know, I had never really dealt with injury before. So, you know, going into it with a major reconstruction like that, I needed something to motivate me and a big challenge to work for. And I felt as if getting back into the gym, not just getting, you know, my knee back to normal, but being able to do elite level gymnastics was kind of setting the bar pretty high, but it motivated me enough to keep going.
One of the things that I've known from my friends who are high skilled athletes, the professional ones, tell me that when they've had injuries, that because they are a professional or a highly skilled athlete, that taking on that challenge is a little bit easier because discipline is something you have to have in order to be able to perform at a high level. Is that something that helps and helped you in this particular case, that you had been disciplined in gymnastics and so therefore you knew how to be that way in overcoming this?
I would say a little bit. I mean, I think it was a very humbling experience, but having the discipline behind me to, you know, make sure I got into the rehab center every day and did my workouts and took care of myself, that helped. But I think, you know, the elite athlete side of me wanted to push it too fast and too hard. And I think, you know, that was a downside because they didn't want to let me run for 8 weeks. But I was like, no, you know, I'm an elite athlete. I can run in two. So I was always pushing the bar.
I'm really laughing here because I can understand that. You know, with athletes, they always think that they can do something that other people can't do. And I was going to ask you about the day-to-day ups and downs. That's hard for an athlete to deal with, is it not?
Extremely. You know, we want every day to be perfect and every day to be better than the last one. So whenever we hit a rut or we go a little into, I don't know, a plateau or have a bad day, I mean, it really gets to us. So going through the rehab and even to today, having a bad day is really something that I have to learn to handle because it gets at me.
How hard is it to deal with the ups and downs of each day? I mean, that type of frustration that comes in. What do you say to yourself to be able to stay on an even keel?
I think my parents and my coaches have a great, you know, hand in that. They've always taught me that, you know, to have a good day, you have to have a bad one. I mean, you have to learn from the mistakes and learn from the low points to get yourself to the high points. So, you know, even if while I'm going through it, I'm not in the greatest, you know, mindset or mood, when I get home and really think about it, then it's just kind of like, okay, I have to take away from this day, you know, what went wrong or what I did bad, and, you know, learn from it and move on tomorrow, start fresh.
One of the things that I think has made you successful as an athlete, and particularly in gymnastics, is the balance that you have. Now, I say that because you were not the typical athlete in that you trained 40 hours a week. You really had some balance in that you trained 25 hours per week in order to keep other things in your life. Did that help you in the long run, you think, so that you didn't have to deal with burnout or you didn't get angry about having to give up something?
Definitely. I think it kept me sane, if anything. You know, I always needed a place to get away from gymnastics, a place to feel normal and a place to kind of breathe, because elite-level gymnastics really can, I don't know, become suffocating and overwhelming. And you see so many girls get overwhelmed and burn out. And, you know, my parents, my coaches wanted me to have a good balance of social life and school and other sports so I could continue to have that passion that I've always had. And I think it's, you know, because of that I was able to be so successful. It's because I never left or lost that passion.
Sean, were you ever concerned that people might label you as not being fully committed because you didn't put in the hours that everybody normally did? Because that's something that does happen.
Yes, and people did label me as not committed. But, you know, I think they could say whatever they wanted, but I seemed to prove them wrong when I would go into a competition and perform so well because it seemed as if I was doing something right.
The Carolis, obviously involved with the United States Gymnastics, are they taskmasters? I mean, Bella was in the studio with me, and I talked to him, and it seemed like to me, just reading him, that it was my way or the highway.
yeah, I mean, they definitely believe very passionately about, you know, their system and how they've kind of built their, I don't know, their ways and their team. But I think slowly they've really adapted to how, you know, we've been training and what's been coming in, the new girls and the new systems, and it's a real good mix of everybody, I think.
Michael Phelps and I had an interesting conversation here on the show. I was asking him, with all the pressure that he had in Beijing, I said, how hard is it to deal with the fact that really your swimming life comes down to one event, or maybe in your case it was eight events, but that everybody is going to judge you by what you did on one particular day? And he said, you know, unless you just take the attitude is, I don't give a damn, I'm going to do the best I can, he says it'll eat you alive. How did you approach the Olympic Games?
I honestly just approached it with, you know, I have nothing to lose. Kind of, you know, what Michael said in a few different words. I don't know. It's just, you work your entire life for something, and you've kind of accepted at that point that, you know, no medal and no score can define your worth and your however many years of hard work. People don't get to see every ounce of blood, sweat, and tears you put into it. And, you know, they can say what they want, they can reward you how they want, but at the end of the day, if you know you've done your best, then there's honestly nothing or no medal that could replace that.
I remember the Olympic Games in Calgary when Debbie Thomas was in the figure skating competition, and I saw a picture in the paper on the Saturday in which they were having the finals, and I looked at it and I said, this gal is not ready for the championship, because I could see just by the look on her face, Sean, that there was something that she didn't have confidence in. And I'm just wondering, as you took the floor for each of your events and the things that you were doing, is it just a single-mindedness, or what do you do about emotion? What do you do about getting yourself in the right spot to compete the best you can?
For me, it was, you know, getting into that mindset that it wasn't about anybody but me. You know, you have to have that mindset and that emotion and confidence in what you're doing. You have to believe it, that you are the best and what you're doing out there is better than everybody else. I feel like if you believe it, then it shows. And every time I'd go up to go for my competition or a specific routine, you know, every single person in that arena, every competitor would kind of just disappear and it would just be me. And, it was kind of just, it was what worked for me. But
in the all-around competition, there's different, obviously, disciplines. How hard is it to change kind of gears and get into a mood or into a technical set mindset for each discipline?
I'd say over the years, you know, the all-around kind of becomes one event. I feel like, you know, it doesn't feel like we're changing from one to another, but, you know, learning to move from one event to another, and if you made a mistake on one, kind of put that behind you is something that's difficult, but it's also, you know, a way to make up for a mistake you made, because you can move on to the next event and be 10 times better and kind of pick yourself back up.
How do you feel about your chances for the London Games?
I honestly don't know. You know, it's one of those things where, like I said, you have to believe in yourself and believe in your ability. And, you know, I believe in the hard work I've put in the past 2 years, but it's honestly just going to come down to their decision, you know, whatever is best for the team. And I hope I fit one of those spots, because I've you know, I feel like I have a lot to give.
How much of it is ability, and how much does politics or just the way somebody perceives somebody to be a factor into the decisions?
I hate to admit that, you know, politics would play into any of it, but unfortunately I think that plays into every aspect of life. I'm not sure how much it does. There's hopefully not too much, but, you know, at the end of the day, our team is one that is hand-selected and not selected by scores. So it's just, you know, it's up to them. It doesn't matter if you're the first or you come in 50th. That team of five could be selected anywhere out of them.
I know you're involved with a project to give the fans a chance to support Team USA this summer. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's through Coca-Cola, and it's amazing what they're doing. You can go on to coke.com/cheers, and all these fans can go in and upload, like, photos and encouragement, or, like, letters of encouragement on there, and if they're selected, it'll be put on a billboard in Times Square. So it's just a cool way for fans to connect with all the athletes and kind of be a part of the journey and the whole Olympic experience.
I know in 2009 you won Season 8 of Dancing with the Stars, and Jerry Rice, who is a good friend of mine, he and I have talked about it, and certainly Donald Driver, who is on Dancing with the Stars right now. I have always felt, Sean, that the athletes have an advantage in that competition because they're used to pressure, they're used to time restraints, they're used to all the things you've got to do in a competition like that. Am I correct in that observation?
I would say so. I mean, we're used to competing. We're used to the pressure. We're used to the strict hours, you know, and we thrive under that. And I think that's what kind of sets us apart, or at least gets us a little further than we would have, you know, had we not had that.
The preparation for each night, each week on Dancing with the Stars, does it compare in any way for preparations for competitions in gymnastics?
It's a little different, but it was definitely grueling and nerve-wracking and took me completely out of my comfort zone. But it was a little, you know, I found my routine started to become very similar, you know, just trying to zone out and be in my own world and, you know, review what I had learned.
Tell me a little bit about Mark Ballas.
What do you want to know?
Tell me some of the funnier moments about him in preparation and practice.
Oh, gosh. Mark was just like a giant kid. Sometimes I felt like I was the adult in the room. But I don't know. Coming from like the gymnastics background, being so disciplined, if you aren't 15 minutes early, you're late, and I would show up to practice, and he'd be asleep on the floor, and, you know, 20 minutes into practice, he'd already be tired and want to take a break. And I don't know. He was a handful, but I loved him.
We got about a minute left, but when you got that honor and won the award for that, what was the thing that went through your mind, and how does it compare to getting a gold medal at the Olympics?
I don't think anything can really compare to the gold at the Olympics, but getting, you know, that Miraval trophy at Dancing with the Stars, it really just kind of proved to myself and gave myself the confidence to know that I could be something more than just a gymnast. And it kind of just, it was something I needed, and I loved it. It was very gratifying.
It does change your life in a sense. I mean, they may forget you being an Olympic gold medalist, but nobody seems to forget when somebody wins the Dancing with the Stars competition.
I know, isn't it? I think that's a little twisted, but it's very true. I don't know. Dancing with the Stars is on twice a week for, you know, how many weeks, and the Olympics are on, you know, and show our event just for 2 days. So it's understandable, but people seem to love it, and I guess I don't mind.
Sean, I want to thank you very much. I've enjoyed this conversation, but I've also appreciated the effort that you've put into your sport and the way you perform, because anybody that can win a gold medal, Scott Hamilton happens to be a pretty good friend of mine, and he and I were talking about it just the other day. He said you never do forget that moment when you're standing on the winner's stand and you hear the Star Spangled Banner. Thank you very, very much, Sean, for the time, and good luck. I hope to see you over in London.
Thank you so much.
Sean Johnson, again, 2008 in Beijing. She was the gold medalist in the Olympic balance beam. She picked up a silver medal in the all-around and floor exercise, and she also won a U.S. team silver medal as well in the competition. We've got you on Sports Byline.